When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello and welcome to Miles to Memories. I'm Sean Coomer, your host. Joe Chung is off this week playing high school graduation at Fenway Park. Sounds amazing, actually. Mark is here, though. He's back from Alaska, and he's going to tell us all about it. Plus, Bethany Walsh from Bougie Miles is here. She's going to talk about being a female writer in this space and perhaps some of the challenges and maybe toxicity that we encounter in the Miles and Points game. Plus, we'll have rapid fires and more. If you like this show, don't forget to subscribe. Just search Miles to Memories in your favorite podcast app, or you can head to mtmpodcast.com. If you want to dive deeper into the world of Miles and Points, we have our Patreon community. $10 a month gets you diamond status with private Facebook group, private Discord, bonus content every single week, and access to our quarterly meetups. First meetup coming up in August. So excited about that. Just a little warning about the show. My audio quality is a little mixed. My connection was poor, and I apologize for that. Mark and Bethany sound amazing, and the overall quality is amazing. So stick around. Thanks so much for listening. Let's hit it. So Bethany from Bougie Miles is here. Bethany, thanks for coming, for joining us, for gracing us with your presence in Joe's absence.
Thank you so much for having me. Owen, thank you. It's nice to be here.
She's showing us the little kitty.
Sorry, I'm showing everyone the kitten, and then someone commented.
That's why you guys should be in the Facebook group or on our Facebook page checking this out live as we record it, because you get to see cute little kitties. And we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Mark is back from Alaska, and he's going to go over all that today. How is life up there in Michigan?
Doing good. You know, it's been about a week since school ended, and I already want to kind of murder the children, so that's summertime for you, I guess. Just opening my door 17 times already today. Hey, can I have a snack? That's the worst one. I hate that.
Why don't you just let them have snacks when they want them?
Because basically Connor would eat nonstop, so... And he's already got a little bit of a belly rolling, so we need to bring that down a bit. But yeah, so they just like they come in for the most random things, and I'm like, dude, when the door's closed, don't unless it's emergency or you really need help with something, don't just come in and be like, hey, this isn't working so good right now, like something totally that you don't need to be worried about. Yeah, I know people work from home with kids. Not great.
When the door is closed, though, that means open it and come in and do whatever you want. That's what that means.
Sometimes I go to locking it, and then they really know. They try to turn the handle, and then they just walk away.
I would get annoyed at just like the sound of the door almost opening. That would be it for me.
Yeah, I usually have like music playing, so it makes it a little bit better. But yeah, I'm like, oh.
Well, everybody in the Diamond group knows, like, there was one time I forgot to lock my door, and they came in during Jasmine came in during a stream, and I freaked out. It was like really early on in our streaming, and I was just like, you know, I'm so focused on trying to do a million things, and yeah, I got so
everybody's like, whoa, Sean yelled at somebody.
I didn't really yell, though. Like, I raised my voice.
No, but
I
was, nobody's ever like, heard you raise out. Your voice.
Yeah, because I was just like so into this, and then all of a sudden the door opens and I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, anyway.
It's stressful, especially when you work from home and P2 also is home. It's like, oh, get out of my face all the time. Don't look at me. So I get it.
Yeah, it just comes in. Like, I'm going to eat this sandwich while I watch you do this video. And then the dogs and cats and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, they're an extra entity.
All right. Well, let's get into the show, because I know Bethany has to run. But let's get into the show and talk about Alaska, Mark, because you blew up social media. I want to get a plug for your Twitter at Detroit Mark, but also on the Miles to Memory social media. Lots of beautiful pictures, videos, all kinds of cool stuff if people want visuals to go with what you're about to tell us. But give people the background of the trip and then tell us how it went.
Yeah, so, you know, we had been writing an article. Delta opened up new direct or nonstop for the people that get triggered by people using direct for nonstop. But flights from Detroit to Anchorage. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, it's a new one rolling out. Let me see. And prices weren't that bad. And, you know, I wanted to book it. So we were one of the earlier on because I think it just started like May. They started this route and we flew early June. So we flew direct or nonstop from Detroit to Anchorage. And then on the way back, it's only Fridays and Saturdays. So on the way back, we flew back on a Wednesday, so we had to connect through Minneapolis. That's kind of like how it started. I just was like, oh, I wonder what the prices are. Oh, these prices aren't that bad. And then I'm like, Kirsten, do you want to go? No. Should I just take Connor? Sure. So so that's how it all kind of kicked off, basically.
So what was your basic itinerary as far as being in what you were going to do in Alaska, sort of coming into the trip?
Yeah, so I talked to some friends that had been there recently and all that. So I know I wanted to do a boat glacier tour that had, you know, hopefully see whales, sea lions, stuff like that. And then you go to a glacier. So it's like a 6-hour boat tour. So that was like the main thing that I wanted to accomplish. And that was in Seward. So the first night we landed and we just stayed at an airport hotel. Well, not airport hotel, but right in Anchorage because we got there at 8:30, which was 12:30 our time. So I was like, we're going to need to hit the bed, you know, and just go to sleep. We don't want to drive far. So we ended up staying in Anchorage, got up early, had breakfast, and then went out and took that 2-hour drive to Seward and kind of built the trip around that. And then originally, after a couple days there, we were going to head down to Homer, which is like the southern tip of the peninsula. And I kind of changed it up on the fly because I was dreading a 5-hour drive. So that kind of switched things around, but that was like the main overview of what we were planning on doing originally.
Talk about the crab that you had.
That looked amazing.
Yeah, that's a picture of this crab, and I don't know, it was $40 for that whole fresh seafood. And
yeah, so that was actually the first day we went to Seward, and we hit the Exit Glacier Trail, which was really cool. It's just outside of town. And the cool thing about this one was they have like signs posted along the way. That shows you where the glacier was in that time. So, like, you start out the beginning of the trail, which is like a mile long, is like 1917. This is where the glacier was in 1917. You're like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. And then you get up to where you can see it, and it shows 2005 and then 2010. And then there's still a huge gap to where it is now. So you kind of see, like, how it's been shrinking over time and interesting to see. So then we went into town and checked in, and then we were looking for a dinner spot, which I'll talk about later. That's one of the takeaways, negatives of Alaska is the food situation. And we just saw this sign that said cheap beer and lousy food. So I was like, well, we gotta go check that out. And it also said the cheapest pound in town, which I thought was funny as well. So so we went there. We went right when it opened. And good thing because it got, you know, within the first 10 minutes, it was completely full and people were waiting. And yeah, you got two huge king crab legs, which was a pound of meat, and then two sides as well for like $44 or $46, something like that, which is insane. Super good though, really good.
If Connor you would have gotten that piece of crab like here or anywhere else, it would have been like $100 easy. That was like, yeah, pounds, right?
Yeah, and normally, you know, you get crab around here, it's the thinner legs, you're not usually getting like king crab huge. This is like, you look at it, you're like, how am I even supposed to crack this claw? It's so big, it's like a fist. And then I'm sitting there cracking it, and Connor's like getting queasy. He's like, oh, oh, because you just hear the crunch and snap and all that. And he's not into seafood at all, which was an issue for the trip because pretty much everything is seafood in Alaska. But so he's sitting there eating. He's like, I'm not so hungry anymore. And then he's like, what did that crab do to you? I'm like, buddy, it's like, it's already dead. Like, it's not getting hurt right now. That's and I said, I'm like, and you're eating chicken nuggets. I mean, I know they're not really chicken because they're nuggets, but you're eating chicken and hot dogs and all that. He's like, I know, but it's just. So that's kind of funny. What were you going to say, Sean?
I was going to say my parents used to like eat when I was like at the seafood place here, you know, and get all the crab legs. I used to think it was the nastiest thing. They would get like gloves and bibs and all that, you know, the crackers back in the day because they didn't come cracked. And like, I used to think it was the most disgusting thing ever. And then as I became an adult and I finally gave myself the opportunity to taste crab and understand why it's so good.
Oh, I made him eat it.
There's still hope for him yet. Oh, you made him?
No, I made him. I mean, he doesn't like butter. He's weird. I don't understand how anybody doesn't like butter. But so I dipped it in butter and made him eat it. And you could tell he kind of liked it in the beginning. And then I think he got a little bit of like the fishy aftertaste, you know, and then he started to sour on it. But the deal was because we saw a sign out front, like next door, and it said gold panning. You can do gold panning here or whatever. I was like, if you want to go gold panning, you have to eat a little bit of crab. So he's like, okay. And then he's like, I don't feel so good. So that was kind of like, I made him eat fish too. He did not like that. He started dry heaving at the table a little bit.
I'm shocked that you ate all of this stuff, Mr. Chicken Tenders. So you should be very proud of Connor.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like lobster, crab, fish if it's battered. But, you know, I prefer lobster because
if it's battered.
If it's battered.
Fried only.
Yeah. There. You know, like crab is so much work that I'm not a huge fan of it because you're sitting there trying to, I'm like, bring me a lobster tail where it's all done up for me. So that was one of the bad things. I would have probably only gotten the half pound if I ate it again because they didn't have the butter on a flame. So the butter gets cool. And then by the time you get to the end of the second crab leg, it's starting to get cool. So you're just like cold crab and cold butter, not the greatest combination, but I felt shameful if I didn't finish it. So I'm just cramming it in while looking probably like a nasty dude, like with butter dripping and everything. But I'm like, I have to eat it. Like, I can't send this back. So I finished it all. It took a little bit.
I'd love to hear Connor's description of this event, watching you with the butter dripping and all this.
Well, there's like water shooting out as I crack it because they're steamed. And like, he's like, oh, some hit me in the face.
Oh, this so he's just,
it was like the yeah, it was like the worst experience for him. And and then I of course knocked over the butter, like, because if you see the picture, and I'll put it when I write up the article about it, I'll put a picture of it. Like, the plate is jam packed. You have nowhere to put like the shell or anything. So I took his chicken nuggets and poured it into the fry basket, and then was throwing the shell into the basket right in front of him. So that probably didn't help him. I was just torturing him.
Oh my god, this poor kid.
But, like, you didn't have any room, so I'm working around, and I knock the butter, and it, like, spills over and comes towards me and starts rolling over the table onto my chair. And I'm like, oh, no, and I jump back, and somehow it didn't get on my pants. I just expected to have a butter-filled wet crotch when I got up. But it, like, it was so thick of a butter that it just kind of, like, went on the chair and then rolled off and didn't splatter anywhere. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but
what if when he goes back to school, they ask him, like, what did you do during your summer vacation? And he draws a picture of butter and crab all over your face, jumping up, spilling. I think
I'm surprised he didn't ask me to take the shells out back and bury them and do like a little thing for it or something. But yeah, so that was an experience, but it was probably the best food we had. So I even wanted to go back the next night because the service was really good and everything, but he's like, no, let's go somewhere else, which ended up being okay. But if you're in Seward, go to the Salmon Bake. It's just outside of town. Really good spot.
So what was the rest of the food situation? You said that there were some issues or some other things you wanted to address with food in general.
Yeah, so it's just like everywhere you went was weird hours or closed on certain days, or there was a 30-minute wait to get in. And we're not even in peak season yet at that point. So, I mean, COVID plays a little bit of a role into it because they did have a little bit of distancing at some places, but most places were no mask or anything, and it was kind of like regular. So I don't think that played a real role. Like, the first place we went to, right next to the hotel, we went at like 3:30 because we're still on Michigan time. So that was like dinner time for us. And we walk up and they're like, oh, we close at 3 for lunch and reopen at 4 for dinner. I'm like, okay, but your restaurant is completely full right now of people eating that got in there before 3. I'll pay the dinner prices. Like, I don't care. I just want to sit down. And they're like, sorry. So stuff like that. And a lot of places are closed on Monday and Tuesday. Even in Anchorage, like, you know, the museum's closed. Restaurants are closed. Or they close at 6 p.m. in some places, at 8 p.m. other places. I mean, it's light out until 2 in the morning or whatever. And you have bars closing at 9, 10 o'clock. Or food service stopping at 8. So there was like a 30, 40 minute wait to get in everywhere. Or you had to have reservations. And that's just not the way I travel. I don't like to pre-plan my food. I don't like reservations. I like to just walk around and see what's cool. That's how we ended up at the Salmon Bake, because we just saw the sign, thought it was funny. So that's kind of how I travel, but it's kind of a hindrance in Alaska. Even in Anchorage, we went to a pizza place at 4 p.m. the last day, and it was a 40-minute wait to get into a pizza and brewery at 4 o'clock. I'm like, when does everybody work? And two, I need to open up a pizza place, I guess, because this is insane.
Yeah, that would get on my nerves. Bethany, do you plan all your meals ahead? I know when you come to Vegas, I know you sometimes have reservations, but do you like to plan everything ahead?
No, I am just like Mark in that respect. Like, making a reservation for me is really only for very special occasions. Like in Vegas, it's places that I know I can't get into otherwise. So yeah, that would drive me absolutely insane. Actually, that was a big problem for me in Amsterdam. So I don't know. I kind of get like a similar vibe from both places in that like they don't follow time like everyone else.
That's the same
first person to compare Alaska and Amsterdam.
I know. We did notice that in Dublin, though, like they eat their dinner really early. And so we'd go to a place and be like, oh, are you guys serving food at like 8 p.m.? And they'd be like, no, we stop service at like 7 or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to McDonald's because it's McDonald's or a pizza place. We ended up eating pizza quite a bit late at night because nothing was serving food at that point.
It is crazy, like being from Vegas where everything's open 24/7, or at least it was COVID, just like in the U.S., things are, you leave the U.S. and time is just different. The way things are open, Americans want everything right now and fast, and everywhere else in the world, nobody operates that way. It's crazy just how, you know, in borders here, we do differently.
Yeah, like we're pretty much never closed, especially for all three of us. We love Vegas and New York, right? So that's like a pretty, that's like the thing. These places never sleep. They never shut down. They're always open. So you kind of expect that everywhere you go. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have nowhere to eat. And McDonald's is the only thing open. Like, great cultural experience.
Well, that's the one thing, like Alaska, there's no fast food really anywhere besides, you know, the main city. But you're driving around the road, you'll go like 30 miles without seeing anything. And then it might be like a little gas station, a Subway. I think Subway was the only fast food I saw outside of Anchorage. So that's kind
that's
of
interesting.
Like, yeah. So you drive, I mean, I get it because it's like keeps it pristine and they don't want it too commercialized. So I understand that, but it also makes it a little more difficult when you have kids and, or you just want something fast, like, everywhere you drive on the highway, there's all these turnoffs and these beautiful things, scenery you want to look, and that'd be a perfect place to have lunch. But unless you like went to a store and bought sandwich stuff, it's not really possible. There's no way to really work around that. So I thought that was kind of a negative, unless you plan ahead type of thing for that. But that's the thing. Like, you drive by all these turnoffs and you're like, should I stop at this one? Do I need a picture of that mountain? Like, oh, that looks really pretty, but you know, I'll probably see it again up here. So you almost get anxious about all the stuff you're seeing because you're like, you're driving, and you're like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh, crap. I'm supposed to be looking at the road. So you almost get a little angry at the beauty because there's so much of it and you don't know what you should take in, what you shouldn't. At least that's what I found myself doing. It was kind of crazy.
I felt like the pictures that you posted and just like even in our private group were so beautiful. Like, I had no idea that it was actually going to be that beautiful. People say it's such an amazing place. It's like untouched, but it really was. So I can kind of understand why you would get stressed out, especially since it's not somewhere you're going to go every other year.
Yeah. And that's Matt brings up a point in the live chat. He says, you know, a lot of driving, everything is like an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours away. And he said it was a challenge with his 4 and 1 year old. So that's something to think about. You know, I've written about how I hate renting cars and I don't like driving on vacation. Like, I don't want to fly 6 hours and then get in a car the next day and drive 4 hours. That's a Sean thing. That's not a Mark thing. Like, I want to just be where I am and fully immersed right away. Like, I don't want to travel every day. And that's a big reason why I changed it up, because I knew I would regret, you know, that long drive down to Homer to check it out for a few hours and then drive back to a hotel. So we ended up switching it up to where we went to Girdwood in the Alaska. I'm going to say the name of the resort wrong, but beautiful mountaintop ski resort. You can take a tram up to the top and overlook the ski hill and the lake nearby and town and everything. So that ended up working out really well. It was really cool. And I think, you know, if I had missed that, I would have been upset versus driving to Homer, even though Homer looks beautiful, but it just was too much. If I had a longer trip, I would have done it. But the fact that I'd be driving there and then turn around and drive back to a hotel, and the whole day would have been wasted, basically.
Yeah, speaking of like the beauty, it reminded me a lot of the South Island of New Zealand. And yeah, it's crazy when you're so overwhelmed by beauty. I remember we were like on the South Island of New Zealand for like almost 2 weeks. And every day we were seeing like amazing waterfalls, and I was seeing waterfalls that were prettier than anything I'd ever seen in my life up to that point. And every day we were seeing multiples of them. and you're like, oh, there's another waterfall. And then you had to like remind yourself in the moment, like, you don't see this every day, even though you've seen 50 of these in the last few days. When you move about your life and you get out of this area, you're not going to see this. And it's, yeah, it's cool to be able to see nature in that way. And Alaska looks stunning, like Bethany said, from all that you shared.
And it's funny because you're driving down these highways and, you know, the snow's melting off the mountaintops. And everywhere you go, there's like a waterfall coming down next to the road, running under the road. And you're like, oh, that's cool. And just south of town in Seward, you go over this bridge and there's this huge waterfall coming down. So I'm like, all right, let's pull over to the side and I'll take a picture of this because you don't see it every day, but you do here. And it was really cool. And then we walked out onto the beach and all the beaches are rocky or really, really fine. It's basically like crushed up rock. There's no like real dirt in the area or sand. It's all like rock residue, I guess, which is kind of crazy to see how green it is. So I thought that was interesting. And then we walked out to the beach and I had bought a beer from the liquor store and I was just standing there having a beer and Connor's like, oh, I really want to go swimming. I'm like, well, get in there, you know, and he got in his feet wet and he's like, it's really cold. But then you have a picture of snow-capped mountains in the background and stuff. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. Just anywhere you go, you could just sit down and like have a drink or eat, and it'd be wherever you are is like the best place to be. So,
did you see a lot of animals?
Yeah, not like on the roads or anything like that, but on the boat tour, we saw orca whales, humpback whale. Well, we saw like a little bit of a humpback whale. We didn't get to see like a breach or big. You couldn't even really tell. The captain high up is like, oh, that's a humpback whale. And we're like, oh, okay, it just looks like a little gray hump swimming through the water, but okay. The orcas came up, so we saw them breach a little bit. Dolls porpoise, which is like baby orca looking things, which are really cool. They swam up right next to the boat and were jumping. They're really curious.
That is so cool. Oh my god.
Yeah, we saw sea lions, otters on that. Some people saw a bear in the woods, but we didn't catch it. And then of course you get within a quarter mile of the glacier, which is really cool, and they just kind of let you sit there. So I definitely would say that is like the highlight of the trip. I would get that, you know, book that tour. It is expensive. I think it cost us like, let me see, like $250, something like that for the two of us, $220. I got it a little bit discounted because if you book the hotel that the tour groups hooked up with, you get 20% off the tour tickets. And that was like right on the Harbor Hotel. I probably wouldn't stay there again. It was $300 a night. Not really worth it. And that's the Harbor 360 Hotel. So we saw all that. That was really cool. On the way back, they picked up glacier water that is, I mean, a chunk of the glacier that broke off. And they said it could be like 700 years old. And then they made a margarita happy hour out of it. So they chopped it up and put it in drinks. And it like took forever to melt. So I thought that was interesting. And then they had kids margaritas that was just like pineapple juice and grenadine and something else mixed. And Connor acted like he was drunk after because he was so high on sugar, I think. But he had two and loved it. So it was kind of funny.
That's adorable. So what are your main takeaways from your Alaska trip, especially for people traveling with kids?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just you do want to plan this out a little bit more than you would a normal trip because everything does take a lot more effort to get to. If you want to have good dining experiences, you're probably going to need to get reservations, probably going to need to research food. Some highlights on the food were the salmon bacon Seward. The Seward Brewery had really good pizza. Girdwood Brewery by the resort in Girdwood was really cool. They didn't really have food, but that was a place that I would definitely recommend checking out. Moose Teeth in Anchorage was really good brewery and pizza place. So those were the main spots that I would recommend. And also just realize there's going to be a lot of driving. So if your kid's not good at sitting in a car for a while, might want to wait a little bit. And it's super expensive. In total, we spent like $3,600 on the trip. So that's, I mean, 1,000 of that was the plane tickets for me because I'm going for Delta status, which I used Amex airline incidentals to cover most of it. So that sways it a little bit. But the hotel, you know, the mountaintop resort, Alaskia, was $400 for the one night, which is insane, but we did it. And then the Harbor Hotel was $600 plus taxes and fees for two nights. So just realize it's going to be an expensive trip. It's probably like a once in a lifetime type of thing. I don't see myself going back unless my dad, who's always wanted to go, wants to go, and then I'll take him. But it's not like something that I would do every year. Now, if you're a huge nature hiker, trail person, or fisherman, then you definitely would want to go back and forth probably, you know, every couple years. It'd be something that you would do. But for somebody like me that is more of a city travel person, you know, wants easy dining and lots to see and do. It's something that I'm glad I did, but I probably wouldn't need to do again. So when are you booking yours, Bethany?
I don't know if it's my thing. Like, the pictures were so stunningly beautiful, but like the fact that you had to drive anywhere makes it kind of a non-starter for me.
And the crazy thing is, like, you're in Anchorage, the biggest city, and you're thinking, oh, there will be like a day that I could spend in Anchorage. But you want to get out of Anchorage. There's not much there. It's not even like really a good city feel. You know, I booked the Hyatt place, which was going for like $350 a night on a Tuesday. So that shows you how expensive the stuff in Alaska is. Yeah, so we booked that, and it was in Midtown Anchorage. And I'm thinking, okay, there'll probably be something we can walk to. Like, we'll get there a little, you know, 2-3 o'clock, and we'll walk to eat somewhere. No, you're just like on a street, on a busy street, but there's not much around you. Like, an Applebee's might be nearby, but that's about it. So there's not, and I didn't explore it a ton, but it didn't seem like there was like a downtown area or anything like that, like a shopping district or anything that would draw you in. So,
right.
You know, I would go to the Alaska Resort. If you want to stay in that area, because that's probably the nicest place that you could stay at. So it's really cool. They have hiking trails up the mountain.
How nice was it though? Like, when you say nicest, you said it very hesitantly.
Oh, well, cause I didn't research like all of the area around Anchorage, but it did seem like the bougiest of places. You know, the rooms were a little bit dated, but like that old school dark wood, you know, had a button that you push for if you want to turn on the maid light next to the bedstand type of thing. Like, it was probably super, super nice in like the 80s, 90s. But the main areas are all beautiful. You take the tram up to the top, and they have a bar and a restaurant up there, and they have a fine dining restaurant, which didn't get great reviews. We didn't eat there, but you can go up there for lunch and check it out, have awesome views, drink some great beers. So that's really cool. And then you're right, Girdwood is down the road. So you have that little town that you can check out too. So I would say it's probably the nicest in that area if you wanted to go. If you're looking for that, like if you were going with a significant other and you wanted, you know, kind of like a romantic spot of the trip, that would be it. And then Summit Lake Lodge. We stopped there for lunch, and they had little cabins on this pristine little lake that they were the only ones on it. And that's on the way to Seward. So
that's special. That's
a place you might... Yeah, if you want more like an outdoorsy type vibe, that would be a place I would check. We didn't stay there. We just had lunch. But, I'll put the pictures up on the article. The views from that spot are pretty stellar. So, pretty cool overall. But I'm going to do the first 2 days breakdown article, second 2 days and a second article, and then I'll break down all my costs, which I think I'm going to do for... all trips going forward. I think people like that type of stuff. I always find it interesting.
So. I think that's a good idea. And I always forget to like keep a list, but just hearing you go through it is definitely helpful, because sometimes you don't realize, like, you spend $3,600. I think the last time I did that was like a cruise, you know?
Yeah. Like, since I got into Miles and Points, I've not spent anywhere near this amount of money, but you know, Miles and Points aren't really super useful. You know, I talked about cashing out all my Ultimate Rewards and membership rewards a few months back. And part of it was to, you know, motivate me to earn more. And part of it was I knew I was going to have a cash trip like this. So that's where, you know, I still use points in that way, but it wasn't like a lot of points hotel options available to you. So Matt said 100% agree with Mark on Anchorage. There's just not a lot there. So get out of that town as quickly as you can, just because... you're going to miss out on other beautiful things if you stay. All right. So the next topic I wanted to bring up, and I've been thinking about this for a little bit, and then the fact that you were going to be on with us made it something I wanted to speak to, as well as it was kind of funny. Somebody in our Facebook group was like, hey, I love the podcast. I'd like to hear more female voices. I was like, hey, Bethany's already on the list, and we're going to be talking about something like this. But, you know, something I've noticed, you know, occasionally you still write for Miles and Memories, but you used to write full time. We have Zoe that writes, and we have Felicia that writes occasionally as well. So we have a couple female writers, and I've always noticed that, you know, commenters start towards the slant more negative whenever a female's writing an article than a male, I feel like.
Yeah.
More aggressive. Sometimes I remember you wrote I think it was Hong Kong that you wrote.
God, yep. Mm-hmm.
That you didn't feel comfortable in, and people were like, oh, what's that second bed in your room for when you're, you know, cheating on your husband type of thing. And it just, and there's these articles that Zoe writes that I don't think people are going to get upset about. Like, she wrote about, you know, things Americans say to British people that you probably shouldn't. And I thought it was informative, entertaining, and people got upset about it. And I'm like, if I wrote this, I don't think they would have been as visceral towards her. And it's not even just guy commenters. I feel like female commenters do the same thing. And
yep.
It just seemed bizarre to me, you know, that, and I don't know what it is. And I was curious to see if you've noticed the same thing, as well as I wanted to bring up the fact, you know, our space is, it's probably not 50-50, but there's a good portion of females, and they're, you know, 35-40% of female people in Miles and Points. But yet you look at writers, contributors, that type of thing, it's probably 10% of less that are females. Now, if you look at the travel, like just general travel, I think it sways more equally, but in Miles and Points focused, I would say it's very small. So I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on it. And I don't know, I just found it bizarre.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that part of the problem is that when you're a woman in a space that's male dominated, you have to wonder, like, is it male dominated because that's how it is? Or is it male dominated because of the culture, which then pushes women out? And I would have to say that, like, Miles and Points, if I weren't the person that I am, which, I mean, everybody, I think the Miles to Memories family knows me very well. Like, I don't care what you say about me. Does not matter. Also, I am dying to get haters so bad. Like, sometimes I even write a post just to annoy people.
Oh, boy.
Just to bring it out, because I think it's so funny, because I love the comments. And I'm always so jealous when somebody writes a post that really just pisses people off, but it's like a good post, you know? So every once in a while, I even look for that. So I think I'm a special case. And I think that the women who are in this space are very strong-minded and comfortable with themselves, because we get it from all angles. There's like, first, there's like dudes who don't want to hear from a woman, especially on financial topics. You know, it's kind of old school. Then we also have women who are not like girls, girls. Like, I'm the ultimate girls, girl. Every girl in Miles and Points is my best friend, you know? So I am very lucky in that respect. But, you know, we tend to get it from, I think, both of those angles, which is interesting and kind of stinks. And then I also think, like, there have been so many times in my career where I've sort of felt like if I wasn't a stronger person, I would have definitely left to do something else at this point because of some of the institutions in Miles and Points. There's like the people who sort of conglomerate all of the blogs and everything. They have not exactly been like forthcoming or welcoming toward me. And then, you know, you also have like that interesting thing where you go to like a meetup and you think somebody really wants to like pick your brain because you came out with this amazing Delta trick and they're like, can I take you to dinner or something? So it's sort of, you know, it's interesting, but yeah. There's also a really cool aspect of being like one of the only girls that I get to say ridiculous things and, you know, nobody can really give me too much crap for it because then they look bad. So it's a give and take. So one funny story that happened to me like last week was a good girlfriend of mine. I want her to help me with something on my, I want her to set up my Facebook group for me, because honestly, I just hate social media. You guys know, anybody knows that if you put something in Facebook and you tag me, it's going to be like a 12 to 24 hour lag time, you know, unless I just happen to be like constantly checking my phone that day. So anyway, so a friend of mine is going to help me set something up. And she had mentioned it to somebody else who was a friend of mine. And he said, you should watch out of working with Bethany because people don't like what she's doing in this space. And I was like, whoa, shots fired. And she said to me, have you ever heard anything like this? And I said, no. Like, I feel like pretty much everybody loves me. So, you know, I don't know.
and people, you know, come at if you write in on the internet, people are going to come at you. And that's just kind of like, yeah, it goes with the territory. And if anybody comes at me, it, you know, I also find it somewhat comical. Like, I shared on Twitter, somebody called me and Sean Pond scum the other day.
Yes.
And the weirdest thing was, it was on a post about me getting a real ID and like my, how I did it and why you might not need to. So if you're going to come out with that type of, you know, visceral reaction, you would think it'd be on something else, but
that was
I found it kind of funny. And if somebody comes at me or at Sean, I don't really, you know, whatever, it's fine. It doesn't bother me, but whenever somebody attacks, you know, a Zoe or a Ryan or somebody that works for me, you know, that kind of upsets me more than if anybody comes at me. So, and I've noticed that she's gotten really hit hard over several posts. So, and I remember you getting hit pretty hard when you were writing full time. And I always just found it like something that we need to put out there and let people know that that's not a thing we should be doing.
Guys, it sucks. Stop doing it.
And as well as something, you know, we want to cultivate, we've tried to bring in more female voices. So if you're somebody out there that's in the Miles and Points space, that's interested in writing, has an interesting perspective, please reach out to us. We're always looking to add new contributors, especially with a female perspective. So
I can speak to that. In our private Slack group, there's maybe 9 of us. Occasionally Felicia's in there, but I would say there are like 7 guys, 1 girl, me, and I have never once felt like there was anything where you guys treated me differently or anything like that. So if you are looking to support like people who support women and, you know, or just don't make a thing out of man, woman, that's my thing. Like, I don't want to be treated any differently. I just want it to be, I'm a person, you know. Miles to Memories is a great place to support if you're, that's what you're looking for, because I think more than anybody, I mean, first of all, you guys found me, which is easily the best discovery of Miles and Points in like a century. So, you know, proof is in the pudding.
Yes. Awesome. No, I appreciate that. You know, Sean's always tried to be very focused on that. So I know it's big to him, and I've tried to help cultivate that same thing.
Absolutely. You guys have. It's been awesome. And I wouldn't have been, like, I always joke, like, Sean is the most amazing person ever because, like, he found me. And, you know, like, it's just, it's amazing. The whole thing is amazing. On that as note, you can see, I get to go.
Bethany doesn't think too highly of herself, as you can see.
I have a huge confidence problem.
Oh, but if you don't know her well, it's like 50% joking. Like, she likes to do it over the top, but she also is very confident, which is always great.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us.
I think of it as like 80-20, but yes, that's true.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to being on going forward. I can't wait. Did you tell them this is like a regular thing?
Yeah, so we're trying to find a couple people that we're going to rotate in on a regular basis when we're on vacations or just need days off or whatever, and Bethany was the first one we reached out to. So anybody that wants to hear more female voices, you're going to hear her quite often. So,
All right. Bye, guys. Thank you so much. Right,
bye.
And now let's head into rapid fires. Mark, why don't you start us off?
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about Target came back with their Target Red Card deal where you sign up, you get $40 off, $40 coupon. This isn't anything new. It comes around often. But I thought it was worth highlighting because you can get it with a debit card, so you don't need to get a hard pull. You still get the 5% off and everything. Links to your bank account. So that's really great in that aspect. And also, this is something that you can churn. So if you open it up, you get the coupon. Down the road, you close it down, then wait a few months. I'm not sure if it's 6 months or 3 months or whatever, but maybe that... I'll put that info in the article, but you can open it up again, get another coupon. So that alone makes it kind of worth doing. It's pretty quick and easy. And $40 at Target is pretty much like cash to me. So definitely check it out. And sometimes these coupons will work $40 online as well as $40 in store. So you can use them twice. So it could be up to $80 depending on how that coupon is working. So definitely check that out. How about you, Sean?
Mine is, speaking of Felicia, she just had this article on the site, 30 Things I've Learned About Travel as I Turn 30. I love the perspective. These are just sort of quick ideas about how she relates to travel now, and it's a great article. I will point out that some of the earliest comments on that article were some pretty nasty stuff that we had to erase, so we're still working on that stuff, but really great article from Felicia. I'm glad that she's writing more on the site, and she knows Disney stuff too, so hopefully we get her to do some more Disney stuff as we go along, but... I thoroughly enjoyed reading this article, and I think you will too. All right, and before we close out the show, Mark, I wanted to announce that we're also on our YouTube channel going to be doing a monthly MTM Vegas happy hour. And just in case people don't know, MTM Vegas is our weekly video podcast on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/miles2memories. And Vegas, it's our video podcast every week. Bethany's going to join us once a month to talk Vegas happy hour shows, so we're going to be loose. having fun, laughing, and having a good time. Our first show is going to be June 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. It's going to be 2 hours. We're going to have a celebration for our 20,000 subscribers on YouTube and a lot of other fun stuff along the way. And then we'll be doing monthly with you, me, and Bethany. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and that's June 23rd in case Sean's mic cut out a little bit. So I just want to make sure you know that. And we'll do a post letting everybody know on the website so you can see it, get all the details, info. It's probably going to be a 2 hour long show. So that type of thing. And then we're going to be rolling out a Vegas podcast as well. So if you love Vegas, we're going to be your one-stop shop for it all. Boom.
But in the meantime, this podcast isn't going anywhere. And you can find it by searching Miles to Memories in any podcast app. And where can people find you during the week, Mark?
You can find me on Twitter at Detroit Mark. Email me, mark@milestomemories.com. You know, comment on the articles, hopefully respectfully. But I'll get back to you there. Facebook groups, join them. I'm a public profile, so you can send me a message on Facebook. If we're not friends, it might get buried, so it might take me a little while to see it. But don't give up. Reach out to me. I love hearing from everybody or answering any questions you have, that type of thing. How about you, Sean?
Yeah, just check out the website, milestomemories.com, for miles and points. And our Patreon, if you want to join the community, the patreon.com/milestomemories. We have private Facebook, Discord, our meetup coming up in August. Bonus content every week. Lots of fun over there. patreon.com/milestomemories. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time. And thanks to Bethany.
Yes, thank you so much, Bethany. See you. Talk to you guys next week. Joe will be back. Bye. I don't know what's up with your mic, man. Like, how is it not working? Do you want to hook up your like Mac real right. quick? Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know what's going on. Like, browsers. I'm gonna shut off my camera. Maybe that'll help the audio quality a little bit better.
But, it does seem better now.
Yeah. So just so we can finish the show. I'm sorry, everybody.
I just wanted to do podcasting naked one time. So he decided to turn off the. This is his excuse to turn off the camera and strip down.
I have exchanged all my equipment. I have a gigabit Ethernet. I'm hardwired in. I've run new lines. We got to find a different provider, I think, for the video if this keeps happening.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.